Have to get all the technology going here. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, before I begin the homily, so we avoid 10,000 questions after the service, I had a concussion a couple of weeks ago. I don't think I hit my head, but I don't remember. And I am doing better. The headaches are going away gradually, and I am feeling less like I'm floating on a cloud wherever I go. So if I look a little tentative while I'm walking today, that's why. But I'm doing much better. Thank you for all your prayers. I've appreciated those of you who have reached out and checked in on me. Paul writes to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." What does he mean when he says he has fought the good fight? What does he mean when he writes he's finished the race? These lines are commonly believed to be among the last written by St. Paul when he knew that he was facing impending execution in Rome. The image of faith given in these verses is an image borrowed from the world of athletic competition. Paul declares that he has endured the rigors of a life of faith and expects to be rewarded for his faithfulness. Just as an athlete who is trained for and endured arduous physical competition hopes to win the contest and be awarded the crown of victory. Like any athlete who competes at the top of his sport at the cost of physical pain and fatigue, there is satisfaction to be had once the event is over, in spite of the personal cost of the competition. Paul's criterion of his success is his fidelity to the call he had from God. His faith means that even in the face of his impending death, his faithful efforts during his lifetime mark death not as a defeat, but the crowning achievement of a lifetime of faithful living. John Stephen Akwari, a man from Tanzania, is a modern-day example of someone who fought the good fight and literally finished the race. It was Mexico City, and the year was 1968. Out of the darkness, he came, entering at the far end of the stadium, pain hobbling his every step, his leg bloody and bandaged. The winner of the Olympic marathon had been declared over an hour earlier. Only a few spectators remained in the stadium, but the lone runner pressed on. And as he crossed the finish line, the small crowd remaining roared its appreciation. Afterward, a reporter asked him why he had not retired from the race, since he had no chance of winning. He seemed confused by the question. Finally, he responded, "My country did not send me to Mexico City to start the race. They sent me to finish." I think that's what St. Paul means when he writes about fighting the good fight and finishing the race. He means that we need to do whatever it takes to get the job done. It means doing more than the bare minimum to get by. It means knowing who Jesus calls us to be, for ourselves, for others, for all of God's creation, and to live our lives in a manner that builds up Jesus' beloved community and not being satisfied with the comfortable status quo. A good example of a status quo kind of guy is the Pharisee in this morning's gospel lesson. He thought he had it all together, didn't he? "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." How many of you want to be like the Pharisee in this story? I hope none. Don't you want to just slap him? No, you don't want to be like him. True, he does give that portion of his income to the temple which the Jewish law demanded. But what about the spirit in which he gave it? He thought he was righteous, but his righteousness consisted only in checking off boxes and going through the motions of the Judaic law. He wasn't so much righteous as he was self-righteous. And yet, we should notice something about ourselves in this Pharisee. We can become so comfortable in our own circumstances that we objectify other people who we consider other or less than. We cease to think of them as fellow children of God and instead define them by what we see. When we do that, and it's usually subconscious among nice people like us, we create an invisible but very real barrier between ourselves and God's other children. In contemporary society, instead of tax collector, think trash collector. Think homeless person. Think immigrant. Think people who don't look or dress or eat like you. In many suburban towns, like Glastonbury with its 58 square miles, think affordable housing. And then remember the Pharisee. Compare, on the other hand, the tax collector. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but rather was beating his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus tells us in the parable that it is the tax collector, not the law-abiding Pharisee, who is the one that is following Jesus, who is the one who is justified, who is the one who is righteous between the two of them. Why do you suppose that is? Well, let's look back at Paul. Having fought the good fight and finished the race, and see what he and the tax collector have in common. It seems to me that when Paul and the tax collector have in common is that when they approach God, they do so not with a self-satisfied sense that they have done enough. Rather, they approach God and their fellow man with the overwhelming conviction that it is only in their absolute emptiness that they open themselves and their lives to the workings of God's grace. And it's through that recognition of their own emptiness, their reliance upon God for everything that is of value in their lives, that Jesus reckons them as righteous. As this morning's gospel lesson suggests, it is not how much we give that God cares about, but the manner and the spirit in which we give that counts. It is approaching God not with an attitude that we have given God enough, but with an attitude that humbly acknowledges our utter emptiness without all that God has first given to us. John Stephen Aquari did what his nation asked him to do in the Olympics. He finished the race without considering the cost. Paul accomplished what he came to do as spokesman for the fledgling Christian church, finding even the face of death a successful life lived in faithfulness to Jesus' call to serve God's people. The tax collector, in all his sinfulness, was justified before God because he approached God humbly and recognized that with everything God had blessed him with, he actually deserved none of it. At every stage of our lives, whether it be young athlete or in our twilight years, all God looks for is our faithfulness in doing our best. All Jesus asks of us is to follow him, giving the best of whatever it is we have back to God. It can be as simple as a smile to a neighbor, helping a stranger, standing up to call out injustice against another, even if it does not directly affect us. Please join me in a prayer attributed to St. Ignatius of Loyola. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, except that of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.